Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Samach Tes, and we will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amar Aleph, the first words. As we learned in the previous shiur, the Gemara had posed a question. We learned that an Arusa, HaNedarim, are Mufar, are released jointly by a father and a husband. And the Gemara asked the question, trying to understand the mechanics of that hafara. The Gemara's question was, do we say Baal Megas Gaius or Miklish Kalish? Do we say that the first person who is made for the nether cuts it, takes off half, but the other half remains intact? Or Miklish Kalish, that the entire nether is somewhat weakened? That was the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara then began a long brisa, which we're actually in the middle of learning, discussing the concept of Nesroikna, which means that, as we said, a father and a husband of a Arusa are Mefer Har Nedarim together. And the question is, if the husband passes away before he could have been made for his part, we gave a number of examples in the Brice yesterday. The Gemara taught us, we're learning in the Mishnah Mitzvashem tomorrow, that power that the husband has is transferred to the husband, to the father. But we learned, on the other hand, that the power that the father had is never transferred, is never nesroikna to the husband. And as we said, the Gemara quoted a brisa, which we're in the middle of, giving different examples when we do or don't say nesroikna. We are up to the last example that the brisa gives, which is going to be the example that the Braisa uses to answer our Shaila that we began the sugya with, if Megas Gaius or Miklish Kalsh. And the Braisa discusses the following situation. Shama Aviya Vahifala. Her father heard the nether that Darus made, was made for the nether, Vlehispa Kabbalah Shmaya, and the husband never had an opportunity to hear the nether, Atshemes, until the husband passed away. So now the question is, the father was already made for his portion. The question is, could he now, that the husband died, be made for the portion of the husband, or since the father already did his hafara on this nether, he can no longer do any hafara here? Says the Braisa, Chayzer Ava made for Chalka Shabal. The father could go and be made for the husband's chalik, the husband's portion, that is all included in the concept of Nesroikna. That's how the Braisa says, Beishamai holds, as we'll see in a second. Aram Nosan Heinei Devri Beishamai. That's the opinion of Beishamai. Why does Beishamai hold this way? Because they hold this is the concept of Nesroikna, that the husband's power is lost, the husband's position, the portion is taken over by the father if he can't do his Chalik. The Rishonim point out that from the wording of our Gemara, we see a very important din. We see that the husband, the father, when he's mefer, and as we've been learning and will continue to learn, at times he has the right to be mefer not only his own portion, but he has the right to be mefer even the portion of the husband. He has to know whose portion he's being mefer. Is it his own share or someone else's share? And that's why the Braisa clearly indicates, Chayzer Ava Mefer Chelkei Shabal, that when he's now being Mefer again, he did his own share, and now he has to recognize that the next thing that he's doing is the Chelkei Shabal, the husband's Chelik. There's another interesting Shaila in the Rishonim. We know the Halach is, and we're going to spend time discussing this concept today, that a husband, a father, that could be made for a nether, could only do it b'yom shamay, on the day that they hear the nether. Here we're going to have a situation that the father heard about the nether a long time before, and he was already made for his part. Now the husband dies a couple of days later, and the shamay is telling us that he can be made for the chelik of the husband, but that's no longer his yom shamay. His yom shamay was days ago, the day that he was made for. So can he still be mefer or not? That's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that this gemara that says that even according to Beis Shammai, he can be made for Chelka Shabal. It's only if it's on the same day that he heard the neder. Otherwise, there would be a problem of Yom Shamay. He can only be made from the day he hears the neder. Other Rishonim say that he can be made for even days later. Why? They say because when he is now being made for the neder, he's not being made for his portion. His portion he already did. He's being made for the portion of the husband. So the Yom Shamay that applied to him has nothing to do with the husband, and therefore it would not be a problem. Then the Ritva points out that the Braisa refers to a situation that the father heard, was mefer, and the husband never heard. So the Ritva asks, is this halacha, that according to Beis Shammai, that the father can now take over the husband's portion, only in a case where the husband was never aware of the neder before he died, as the Braisa says, Tloi hispik abal l'shmoya at shemes, or does it not make a difference? And he says it's really a debate amongst the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it makes no difference. The father has a right to take over the husband's share. Others say that it does make a difference, that if it's, we have here a case that the father was made for the neder, and when he was made for the neder, the husband wasn't aware of the neder at all. Therefore, as we explained in the previous year, and we'll discuss this concept again today also, the father's hafara was an extremely strong hafara. Right? Because the husband wasn't even aware of it. That's when the father could take over the husband's portion. But if we would have a case that the husband was aware of the neder when the father was made for, he just never had the opportunity to be made for it before he died, so then the father's hafara was a weaker hafara, because he really had a potential partner already. The data halacha would be that the father cannot be made for the neder after the husband dies, if the husband wasn't made for it before he died. Hein divrei Beis Shammai, says Reb Nosson, that's Beis Shammai's opinion. However, Beis Hillel Omrim, ein yachol hafer. He can no longer be made for. And the way the Ran explains the opinion of Beis Hillel is as follows. Beis Hillel holds that since the neder got so weak, the father was mefer his portion. And as we're learning, he was the only one that knew of the neder. The neder got so weakened that the husband, that weak neder isn't not a candidate for Nisroikna, that the father should be able to make for the portion that was left over with the husband's death that he wasn't made for. The Rush learns it somewhat differently. The Rush explains that the father was made for, that since the father was made for, so he doesn't need to be made for again. He already did his thing. The husband didn't do his thing. So to have a far of the same person in the same nether twice doesn't make any sense. And therefore, this will be not a situation where we could say Nisroikna. Says the Ritva, quotes the Gevaldige Ramban. He says, even though Beis Hillel is being machmer in this situation, and again, Beis Hillel holds if the father was mefer and then the husband died, the father does not have the ability of Nisroikna to be mefer the remainder of the neder, says the Ramban. That's only in a case, interesting Ramban, if the father is coming to be mefer only the husband's portion. And as Duran explained, since the neder got so weakened, it's a neder that we can't have the father do hafara again on. However, says the Ramban, if when the father now will approach this neder, he will not approach it that he only has to be mefer the portion that the husband should have been mefer. He will approach the neder that he's going not only to be mefer the husband's portion, but he's also going to be re-mefer his own portion. Then the Ramban says even Beis Hillel would agree that he could do a hafara. Interesting Ramban. And then there's a machlokes rishonim, how far to apply the concept of the Ramban. Some rishonim suggest, although the Ramban is teaching us this kula in the opinion of Beis Hillel, that if the father is going to not only be made for the portion of the husband, but he's going to redo his own portion, then Beis Hillel would agree he can be made for, but it has to be b'yom shamay. So it would have to be that the father heard the neder today, was made for his portion today, the husband died today, and then the father was remade for the entire neder after the husband's death, all today be Yom Shammai. If it'll be after Yom Shammai, he can't be remade for his portion, because it's too late. Because it's after Yom Shammai. We know a person can only be made for a neder, but Yom Shammai. Other Rishonim say that the leniency of the Ramban can be expanded, and we could say that the Ramban is saying his kula, even in a case where it's not Yom Shammai. Since the father is approaching the neder, not only with his own hafara, but also the hafara of the husband, and for the husband we don't have a problem with Yom Shammai, he could approach it and redo it on another day, which is not his own Yom Shammai, it's past his Yom Shammai. Now, that we've learned based Hillel's opinion, that a neder that was already mufar becomes weakened, as the Ran explained, that it's no longer a candidate for Nisraikna, says we have another machlokes Rishonim. Beis Hillel certainly said his case in the case that we're learning today. The father heard the neder, was made for the neder, and then the husband died. Could the father do the husband's portion? What would be the halacha, say Rishonim, if the husband heard the neder, was the third case of this brisa, we learned in the middle of the previous amid, was made for the neder, the father never became aware of it, and then only after the husband's death does he become aware of the neder. So yesterday we learned in the brisa that that's a case of Nisraikna. Say some Rishonim, that will only follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Hillel, since the husband was made for his portion, and not only was he made for his portion, but when he was made for his portion, he was the only one aware of the nether. The nether became very weakened, and Beis Hillel will not apply the concept of Nisraikna. Other Rishonim say no. The Beis Hillel only says his halacha when it was the father was mefer, not the husband. But if the husband was mefer, not the father, given that the husband by definition is never as strong of a partner in this hafara as the father, even if the husband was mefer and the father wasn't aware of the nether, and then the husband dies and the father becomes aware of the nether, even Beis Hillel would agree that we say Nisraikna. Says the Gemara, now coming back full circle to our Shaila of Megas Gaius or Miklish Kalish, says the Gemara, this Shaila of Megas Gaius or Miklish Kalish is really the Shaila of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Amar LeBeis Shammai Megas Gaius. According to Beis Shammai, when one person does hafara, one of the two partners, he cuts the nether in half, but the other half is fully there, and therefore it still can be mufar. And that's why Beis Shammai says the father can be made for it. On the other hand, according to Beis Hillel, Miklish Kalish, when the first person does hafara, he weakens the nether, and as Duran taught us, to the degree that it can no longer be a nether, it's too weak of a nether, that it could be mufar, that's why it can't be mufar anymore by the father, Shema Minah. So we see that Beis Shammai holds Megas Gaius, and Beis Hillel holds Miklish Kalish. The Gemara now, for the rest of our shir and going into tomorrow's shir also, Mitzvah Shem, will quote a series of questions posed by Rava in Shilas in this sugya of Hakama and Hafara. By Rava, yesh shayla behekim or ein shayla behekim? Can we have a hekim? We know, as we've described, a nether that a woman makes, a daughter, a wife, once the father or the husband are mekayim the nether, that nether is no longer able to be mufar. And the Gemara's question is, yesh shayla behekim or ein shayla behekim? And there are three ways that I saw the Rishonim explain the Gemara's question. I'm going to first quote two ways that the Rishonim explain the question, which are not the way the Ran explains the Gemara's question. It's just interesting pshatim. One pshat is as follows. If we hold yesh shayla behekim, that means the father, the husband, were mekayim the nether. And now, afterwards, they're being shoyl on the hekim. So some Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, where if we hold that Hakama can be released, that Hakama can be annulled, like every nether can be annulled, do we say that that annulment also includes a hafara? The reason being very obvious. If it does, if I made a kiyum, and now I want to be shoyl on it, I want to annul it, obviously because I want to be made for the nether. Because if I didn't want to be made for the nether, why am I going through the bother of being shoyl on the kiyum? So the Gemara's question, according to those Rishonim, is, if somebody is matter dakiyum, does he still have to go through the process of being matter the nether, or is in the shayla and the hekim included automatically a hatara on the nether? That's one way the Rishonim explain. Another way the Rishonim explain is as follows. A nether made by a wife, by a daughter, given the circumstances that we've been discussing, a husband can be mefer. However, that doesn't exclude the right of a wife, no different than any other individual, the right of a woman, to be matan nether, going to Rav, going to Beis Din, and having the nether annulled, as we discussed so many times in our Masechta. Our Gemara Shaila is as follows. Certainly, if a woman makes a nether, and then she wants to have that nether annulled, she has the right to go to the Rav or the Beis Din. Our Gemara Shaila, however, is as follows. The woman made a nether, daughter, the wife, and then the husband, the father, will make him the nether. Is that still a nether that is able to be nitar, that is able to be annulled by Rav or Beis Din? Or do we say that once the nether was strengthened to the degree that not only did she say the nether, but on top of it, a husband or a father will mekayim the nether, that nether is a nether that's too strong, and that nether can no longer be nitar. That's a second way of explaining the Gemara's question. But both these ways are not the ways we're going to explain the Gemara. We're going to learn the Gemara the way the Ran learns the Gemara. In a very simple way, the husband or the father were mekayim the nether, and now they want to be shayla on that nether. And the Gemara shayla is, do they have the ability to be shayla on the hekim or not? Says the Ran, the Gemara shayla is only b'yom shamay. Because let's review. The halach is there are two ways of being mekayim a nether. One way of being mekayim the nether is if the husband or the father actively are mekayim the nether. Or another way is that they let the yom shamay pass. And if the yom shamay pass, it can no longer be made for the nether. Says the Ran, if our Gemara is asking a shayla, yesh shayla behekim or ain shayla behekim, it means that it's still the yom shamay. And therefore, if the hekim will be annulled, there's still an opportunity to be made for the nether. Because if it's after Yom Shammai, it's too late. And there's no point in being Shail on the Hekim. Other Rishonim disagree and say that even if the Shail on the Hekim were to take place after the Yom Shammai, it still could be a candidate for Hafara, because that would take the clock back to the beginning. However, says Rabbi Kivega, Kivega comes and says there are two ways that even according to the Ran, there would be a relevance to ask Yesh Shayla Behekim, and it's not the Yom Shammai. He says one example is as follows. The husband, the father will make him the nether. Today's the Yom Shammai. The husband or the father will make him the nether. Then they will make for the nether. And then the Shayla and the Hekim. So it's not the Yom Shammai anymore. If we say Yesh Shayla Behekim, the Hekim becomes cancelled through the Shayla, and that fara that he made on the Yom Shammai now becomes activated. And therefore, even though he was shayl, not on the day of Yom Shammai, it's still a relevant shayla, even according to the Ran. Avni Nezer disagrees with Kivega. He says to activate a hafara that took place at a time where it's not effective, because when he said that fara, it was still when the hakim was activated, it wasn't released. That afara is a meaningless afara. Another way Kivega explains that the shayla would be relevant is very nice. He says as follows. Let's say the father made a hakim. The father, the husband made a hakim today. It's Yom Shammai. And now he's shayla on the hakim after a number of days. It's not Yom Shammai. So yes, it's too late, as the Ran told us, to do Afara. It's after the Yom Shammai. But if we're going to say, as we said a number of moments ago, that a nether that was mukam through the father or the husband, that a nether that was confirmed by the father or the husband, can no longer be a candidate for Ataras Nadarim, we could understand the Gemara Shaila. The father or the husband confirmed the nether today. They can no longer ever be made for it if it's passed today. But now the question of the Gemara is very relevant. Could the father or the husband be shoyel? Could they annul that hekem that the wife can now go, or the daughter can now go to Rav to have it annulled? Because we're saying that a neder, perhaps, that's mukam, that's confirmed, can't be annulled. So we want to be shoyel on the hekem, so now that the wife could go to the Rav and the Bezdin for annulment. Says the stipler, very big chiddush. He says, as we said a moment ago, there are two ways of being mekayim and neder. One way of being mekayim and neder is by let it happening itself. That means I hear of the neder, the father, the husband hear of the neder, and they let the neder go till the next day. Another way of being mekayim and neder is by actively confirming the neder, confirming it being mekayim. Says the stipler, chiddush, but it makes so much sense once we'll understand it, that when the Gemara here has a discussion, yesh sheila b'hekem or ain't sheila b'hekem, it's only if, says the stipler, he was mekayimet actively, be mekayimet. But if he was mekayimet because he just let the nether pass without doing anything, there certainly you can't be shoyel on that nether. Why? Says the stipler, beautiful pshat. If I did an action, I was mekayim, I actively confirmed the nether, so Gemara is suggesting that I could, and that's actually the halacha, I could shoyel on that hekem. But if I let it happen by itself, so there was no action, it just happened by itself. Something that happened passively, something that happened by inaction, cannot be annulled with an action. And therefore, a neder that was confirmed just by letting it happen by itself, the Gemara has no shaila, cannot be annulled. Now the Gemara goes with the next shaila. Im tim tzaloyme yesh shaila b'hekem, if we'll suggest that a hekem can, a confirmation can be annulled, yesh shayla behefer, ain't shayla behefer. And as Rishonim explained, the Gemara shayla. Hakama is very simple, similar to a neder. A neder, the person who made the neder, accepted upon themselves to do or not do something a neder. Hekem is really an extension of a neder, confirming that neder. So if there's a concept in halacha that we've discussed so many times of atolas nedarim, Hakama, which is very similar to Nedarim, also there's a concept of Hatoras Hakama. Hafara is the opposite of Hakama. Hafara is nullifying a Nedar. You don't find a concept that a nullification can be annulled. And therefore, even if we'll say that there's Shailon Hakama, there may not be Shailon Hafara. Or the other side of the Shaila, is since we find in so many areas of halacha, as we'll get deeper into these sugyas, that the Torah compares and equates in many dinim hakama to hafara. If hakama could be annulled, maybe hafara, being similar in so many areas of halacha to hakama, can also be annulled. Tashma answers the Gemara, Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Nishalom ala hekim, vei nishalom ala hefer. Hakama could be annulled, Hafara cannot be annulled. Ask the Gemara another shaila. Bari Rava, Bari Rava, Kayim Lachi, Kayim Lachi. A person said to a woman, to his wife, to his daughter, twice, Abim Mekayim Yenedr. So obviously the second Hakam is a fairly meaningless statement. It's already Mukam. But what happened is, as we just learned, you can be Shoyal on the Hakama. So it's Nishal Al Kama Rishoyna. And he goes to Rav, and he has the first Hakama annulled. Will the second Hakama now get activated? Now. So the Karen Oira asked the obvious question. This person was Mekayim the Neder. He confirmed the Neder. And going back to the stipler that we quoted a moment ago, he actively confirmed the Neder. For whatever reason. So whatever reason he was Mekayim the first time, was the same reason he was Mekayim the second time. Now he regrets what he did. And he's going to the Rav, he's going to the Bezdin to have that annulled. So whatever annuls the first Hakama will automatically annul the second Hakama. So what's the Gemara Shaila? So the Shalom in the Dorim says a beautiful teretz. It really speaks to human nature. He says what happened here is in the following. A woman makes a neder. Sometimes, you shouldn't know about such things, a husband gets angry at his wife. And in his anger, in the morning, he's mekayim the neder. Then in the afternoon, he he's mekayim the nether again. In the afternoon, when he's being mekayim the nether, he's not angry. He's calm, cool, and collected. And he's still mekayim the second time. Now he goes to the Rav. And he says, you know, that karma I did in the morning, I was angry. And I regret I did it because I was angry. The Rav says, okay, that was done out of anger. I'm being matter that hakama. That hatara can't help for the afternoon. In the afternoon, he wasn't angry. That's why the Gemara's question is, if the first hakama is annulled, does the second hakama get activated? Or do we say that since the second hakama wasn't relevant when he said it, because that was the first hakama was still effective, then this doesn't ever become relevant. Toshma. We learned the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. The Mishnah says that ain't shvua chal al shvua, which means if I make a shvua and then I repeat the exact same shvua, it's meaningless. But the Mishnah said, the Amar Rava, im nishal al shni rishayna shni chal alav. I made a shvua and then I repeated the shvua. So as I just said, the second shvua is meaningless. But let's say I'll go to the Rav and have the first shvua annulled, then the Mishnah said that the second shvua does become effective. Because as we learned, when we learned the Gemara many blad ago, in the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Yud Ches, we explained it the following way. It's not when I say the second shvua, what I'm saying is a completely meaningless statement. Rather, the way to understand it is that the statement is a very meaningful statement. It's a real shvua. That there's just something preventing it from being effective, the first shvua. And as soon as that impediment, being the first shvua, is removed, the second shvua is chal. The same thing here. It's not that the second hakama is meaningless. It's very meaningful. It's just that the first hakama blocks the second hakama from being effective. And as soon as the first hakama is no longer in the picture, because it was annulled, the second hakama is effective. Rav asks another shaila. Boy, Rav, kaim l'chi u'meif l'chi. A husband says to his wife, I'm being mekayim the nether, and then he says, I'm being meif the nether. So the Rishonim point out, were a husband to just make these two statements to the wife, kaim l'chi u'meif l'chi, everybody agrees that this nether is a confirmed nether. Could we follow the first statement? And the first statement is, kaim l'chi. So he's mekayim the nether. Saying afterwards, meif l'chi, meaningless statement. But here, he didn't just say these four words, kaim l'chi or meif l'chi. He added the following statement. V'loi teich l'hakoma elm kein chala hafara. He says that the hakoma should only be effective after the hafara is effective. So as the Ran explains, the Gemara's question is as follows. There is no question that this nether is not mekuyim, that this nether is not a confirmed nether. Why? Because the person clearly indicated that his hakama cannot be effective unless there's hafara first. And once there's hafara, there's nothing to be mekayim. The question of the Gemara is, says the Ran, do we understand this person's statement to mean? And the person is also saying that the afara should not be effective without a hakama. So what we have here is that the two statements actually cancel each other out, because he's saying two contradictory statements. He's saying a statement and these two statements cancel each other out, and we're left with nothing, and it's as if nothing happened to the nether. That's one way of understanding what he meant to say. Or the other way of understanding what he meant to say was only the statement of Voitech Lakama Elmkein Cholafar. That's the only statement he made. He didn't make any other statements. We can't attribute any other statements. And therefore, Afara is effective, and the nether is completely null and void. Ask Reb Chaim Brisker. Here he's making a tnai. He's making a condition. We're going to learn, says Reb Chaim, that hafara or hakama have to be done by the husband himself, the father himself. It can't be done through a shliach. It can't be done through someone else. Asks Rav Chaim that the halacha is that tanoim, conditions, are only halachically valid in subjects that are open for shlichus, that can be done by a shliach. But if we have an area in halacha that this act cannot be done by a shliach, it cannot be done with a tanai. If we're learning, asks Rav Chaim, that our kum and our fara have to be done by the husband, the father himself, not through a shliach, so how can we have a tanai that the Gemara is talking about the tanoim? Says Rav Chaim, what the Gemara here means to say is not that we should follow the regular hilchus tanoim. Regular hilchus tanoim cannot be applicable here. What the Gemara means to say is that the person saying this statement is saying that the neder is a neder b'tos, that the afara should be effective and the neder is meaningless. A neder b'tos, disqualifying the neder, is not a tanai, and therefore could be effective even by a common afara. Mahu, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara. Toshma. We could answer this question from a machlokes from a plukted Ramei Rabbi Yossi. A machlokes that we learned between Ramei and Rabbi Yossi. The Mishnah says, a mesechta tamura. The Tanan, hareza tamuras oila, hareza tamuras shlomim, hareza tamuras oila de Ramei. The halacha, the Torah tells us as follows. If someone has a carbon, the halacha says, the Torah says, lo yamireno. He should not take this animal that's designated as a carbon and substitute with another animal. However, very interesting, uncommon din that the Torah says. V'him ha-me-yama o-isai. If you do what you're not supposed to do, and you do follow this substitution process, says the Torah, v'ha-yuhu u-smerasa yi-kaitish. Both the original animal and the animal that was designated should be kaitish. So now I have this second animal. If I say hareza tumuris oila, the second animal gets the din of a carbon oila. If somebody says hareza tumuris shlomim, the second animal becomes a carbon shlomim. Here the person said on this animal, hareza tumuris oila tumuris shlomim. He said both. And again tells us the Ran. If the person would have used the words tumuras oila vishlomim, there would be no machlokes. Because the Ran tells us a very interesting thing about human beings. We only could say one word at a time. So the person, when he said tmuras oila v'shlamim, he meant both. But he only could say one word at a time. So what he meant is that it should be half oil and half shlamim. And the halacha would be that this animal that was designated as a tmuras oila v'shlamim, we would have to wait till it becomes a balmum, sell it, half the proceeds used for carbon oila, half the proceeds used for carbon shlamim. Here, however, he added a word. He said, tamuras oila, tamuras shlomim. Adding the second time the word tamura. So Rameya, his opinion, is twice loshen rishon. We follow the first thing he said. And therefore, since he said tamuras oila first, this animal is considered a carbon oila. Rabbi Yossi said, even though he used the extra word, tamuras oila, tamuras shlomim, we ask him what he meant. And if he said that he meant both, im lekach neskam mitchila, if he says he meant both a tamuris oila and a tamuris shlamim, the halacha is, hoil v'yef shalikra shnei shemis kachad, as we said a moment ago, a person can't say two things, he only can say one word at a time, devar of kayamim, and we sell it, half going for an oila, half going for shlamim. Says the Gemara, so according to Rabbi Yossi, we obviously take his entire speech into consideration. So we go back to our Gemara, our Shaila, where somebody says, Kaim lechi, Meifel lechi, V'loi tochel hakom eonkein tochel afara. We have to take his entire statement into consideration. And since the second part of his statement clearly indicated that that comma is dependent on the afara, we have an afara here. But continues tomorrow to say, Rafilu amei lo comma. He says the Gemara, according to Rameya, yes, someone made the statement, Tamuras Oila, Tamuras Shlomim. Since the statement of Tamuras Oila is a full-fledged statement, that is completely independent and freestanding, we say it's a Tmuras Olam. And the rest is ignored. Here it's all one package. It's not to be separated. And therefore even Ramei will agree that this nether is Mufar. It's a released nether. Now we could understand better a psak that we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara. When we started this piece of Gemara, we said that if somebody said, Kaim l'chi u'mufa l'chi, that's all he said, everybody would agree that the nether is confirmed. So the question that's obviously to be asked is, according to Ramei, we could understand that psak, because Tfais Lashon Rishon, he said Kaim l'chi, and that's the first thing that he said, and that's the first thing that we follow, and therefore the nether is Mekoyim. But let's understand according to Rabbi Yossi, that says we don't only follow Tfais Lashon Rishon, so we should also look at the second statement. So why don't we say that the Kaim L'chi and the Afar L'chi contradict each other, cancel each other out? Say it in Mefarshim, a beautiful pshat. In a case when somebody says Tmuras Oyla, Tmuras Shlamim, those two statements aren't necessarily completely contradictory. For as we explained, there's a way of fulfilling both statements. Take the animal, let it become a Balmum, and sell half of it for an Oyla and half of it for a Shlamim. That's why Rabbi Yossi could say, you know what, I could look at the entire statement and give consideration to every word that was said. Because Tmuras Oyla and Tmuras Shlamim don't necessarily contradict each other. They could coexist. However, in a case of Kaim L'chi and Mufa L'chi, those two statements contradict each other. You can't have another that's confirmed and released. It's either one or the other. In a case where the two statements cannot coexist, even Rabbi Yossi will agree, say to Rishonim, that we follow the first statement. And that's why if somebody were only to say, Kaim L'chi U'mufa L'chi, the halacha would be that the nether is confirmed. Next shaila that Rava asks. Bari Rava, Kaim L'chi U'mufa L'chi B'bas Achas. Here the person says the words, Kaim U'mufa L'chi B'bas Achas. And like the Ram points out, he didn't say Kaim L'chi Umeif l'chi. He said, Kaim umeif together. And according to one of the pshatim of the Ran, and he even used the word basachas in his statement. So he wants them to be chal together. But you can't have them be chal together. It's either Kaim or it's Mufar. You can't have them together. So the Gemara's question, as the Rishonim explained, that we have three possibilities. We could say that the two statements, being that they're contradictory, just cancel each other out, and we don't have a comma or a fara. We could say that since he said Kayim first, we follow the first statement. Or we could say that maybe the nether is Mufar, because that's the statement that we should follow. Mahu, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, Toshim Adam Arova. Kol davish ena b'zeh achazeh, afil bas achas enoi. This Gemara is brought down in the Masechta Kedushin. The halacha is that one cannot marry his wife's sister. That's the example. There are other examples. The Kedushin is not valid. What would be the halacha if somebody went and was Mekadosh his wife and then Mekadosh her sister? The Kedushin is not valid. What would be if somebody is Mekadosh two sisters together? He says, I'm Mekadosh the two of you. So the halacha is that since you can't be Mekadosh one sister after the other, as we just explained, you can't be Mekadosh them together either, and neither Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Similarly, in our Gemara, you can't have a nether that's both confirmed and annulled. It's either confirmed or it's annulled. And if you, since you can't do Hakama and then Afara, you can't do them together. And this person, as we explained, is trying to do them together. Kaim achas. So since they can't be done consecutively, they can't be done simultaneously, and the statement therefore, as the Ran explains, becomes a totally meaningless statement, and the nether is still where it started. It's not a confirmed nether, nor is it a released nether. The nether just remains as it is, and now it's the husband or the father's option to do whatever he wants with the nether, confirm it, or be made for it.